Hello, neighbors. Welcome to Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. I'm Ivan Emke, your host. This is episode 20 of our third season. There are a few food items that get a lot of press. I'm not talking about parsnip or horseradish here, but milk, dairy in general. In fact, up until 2019, the Canada Food Guide included dairy as its very own food group. And that had been the case since the Food Guide first came out in 1942. Despite that change, dairy continues to be a major contributor to the Canadian diet. Although, as our guest today notes, these days many people are more likely to eat dairy than to drink it. The other thing that puts dairy in the news is that it is a supply-managed commodity. It's a system that was put in place back in 1972 as a response to numerous crises in Canadian agriculture in the 1960s. Now, as a citizen of this country, you are likely well aware of the many intricacies of supply management, right? I mean, the interweb is full of tweeting prophets expounding on the virtues, but more usually the evils, of such a system. But very few of those folks spend any time in the milking parlor. So today, I'm heading to the barn to talk to a dairy farmer about the everyday challenges of producing one of this country's most widely recognized food products.
Farming, you had to be in the barn. You're not going to get the robots to do everything, and you're not going to get away from having to go to the barn in the morning, and you're not going to get away from labor completely. The eating side of dairy is massive. Cheese is huge. And sour cream, my God, there's so many different colors of sour cream and fat contents. Same with cottage cheese and cream cheese and all these different pre-made dips and yogurts and drinkable yogurts. It's a massive industry. That's our future. Every single cost in this business has went up, and not 2 or 3%. We're seeing an overall cost increase of probably 30%.
Today we head to Hillside Holsteins in Harcourt, just across the Smith Sound from Random Island, not far from Clarenville, to meet up with Lucas Strong. In addition to the usual challenges of farming, he'll also refer to quotas. In order to manage supply, dairy farmers require quota. It's not unlike lots of folks in the fishery. And he'll talk about the differences between fluid milk, which is destined for drinking, and industrial milk, which is used for other dairy products. It's a crisp December morning, but the barn is comfortable with the sweet smells of silage and the sound of assorted equipment, and the chewing of cuds. Join us in the parlor.
We're in Harcourt, Newfoundland. Yep. My name is Luke Strong. I'm a dairy farmer. I'm 26 years old, and started dairy farming when I was 20.
Did you grow up on a dairy farm?
No. My grandfather milked cows in the 80s and sold in 91 at our home farm in Lethbridge. Yep. And I was born in 96, but we had beef cattle. So I grew up with cows and horses. And when I finished school in 2014, I took off to Alberta, and I said, that's not for me. And there was a farm for sale in Harcourt, and there was a little over 100 acres and an empty six-row, 132-stall dairy barn, and two heifer barns and manure lagoon and everything we needed to milk cows. So I begged my parents to help me, and they secured a down payment, and we started here in the summer of 2015. Mm-hmm. And we done forage, and that wasn't working.
You were selling it to
local farmers, a lot of horse people, and it was a hard business, not enough cash flow. It was never enough cash flow, but it was really inconsistent.
Yeah.
And our years to make dry hay in Newfoundland, summer's hard. So anyway, in the summer of 2016, a farmer from Port Blanford, I told him if he was going to sell, let me know. And he had just under 1,200 fluid liters. And he called me in the summer, and I said, yes, sir, we're going to make this happen. Mind you, I had no cash. And, you know, I'm looking for a million plus dollars. I had to buy him out, let alone get my barn ready. And I was 20. So how do you do that? Called Farm Credit Canada, and we had a steal of deal on the building that we already had. And I told them what I wanted to do, and that the hay is not working, and I want to bring the milk cows back to this previous dairy farm. And they probably thought I was cracked, and I was cracked. Anyway, I done a lot of paperwork and value on the building and land, and they secured a down payment with an equity I already had on the property from the previous mortgage we already had. Is always more valuable when the quota is back in the building.
Yes.
Because then it can cash flow. So we done it, and we started. And we were milking 30 cows when we started. And now we're almost milking 120.
So you've got more quota since then?
Never bought quota, but industrial price is good. Okay. Not a whole lot of quota is come up. There was quota come up for the first few years I was in business, but to go back to the bank and look for the money, that's not going to happen the first few years. I stuck my nose in to get the barn full and milking and to have the cash flow. So then when we go to buy quota, it's already paying for itself, but now we're just waiting for quota to come up. And we've grew our land mass substantially. When I first started, we were just over 100 acres. And last year, we cropped nearly 507 acres.
So is that rental? Or
you we do some rental that? And we cleared and a pile of land. Yeah. We never cleared no land last year. Fuel costs, fertilizer costs, seed costs.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. The government does the $3,000 right. an acre,
but that doesn't cover your...
No, maybe back 15 years ago, and I don't know if there's tax on this or not, but if fuel price stays and fertilizer price stays where it is, in order for farmers to grow their land basis, they're going to have to do some changes there. We'd like to clear a bit more land, but 507 acres is plenty.
That provides enough for your...
We'd like to sell... Yeah. We do sell hay now still. Yeah. This year, we should sell around 1,800 bales.
Okay.
So it helps in a year with fertilizer, feed costs, fuel costs. Yeah. Every single cost in this business has went up, and not 2 or 3%. We're seeing an overall cost increase of probably 30%.
And the revenue you get, because you're tied to the
supply managed, is not.
It's not going up 30%.
No. Our income has gone up about 8%.
8%, right.
Chicken and broilers and egg, as far as I know, for the bird and the tree, has gone up 24%.
Yeah.
Broilers and eggs are calculated monthly. So their pay is last month's expenses predicts next month's pay.
Oh, okay.
So it goes up, comes down. And you've probably seen in store, there hasn't been no media release on, you know, chicken has went up, but nobody talks about it because it goes up or down every month. Now, for the last 2 years, it went up.
People don't pay much attention.
But it's micro increases every month. Same with eggs. But when we were paid based on yearly, we were adjusted once a year.
Yeah.
So we may get a 5% adjustment.
Right.
And when we take 5, the processor takes 5, so it's 10% store. So then that's what happened there in the summer when all the medias were going off about the milk going up. So with the cost now and how things are changing, I mean, fuel goes up overnight 50 cents.
Yeah, and you're using diesel.
Diesel on the tractors is one thing, and we use, you know, a little more than a ton of grain a day from Moncton. Yeah. Trucking kills. Fuel goes up, trucking goes up. That's life. And I think the milk needs to go that way too. It's too bad that some consumers may not be able to afford it, but the costs are too high.
Yeah.
Interest rates, fuel rates, and right now, I don't know where it's going to stop.
And grain is going up too this year.
Substantially. We used to pay, for a robot pellet example, we'd pay about 3 years ago, a little over $600, and now it's close to $1,000. And fertilizer double.
Yeah.
It was $700, now it's $1,400. And predictions the year are the same.
And there's no way that you can substitute that because we can't get the grain.
No, so we... Yeah. You can't substitute grain. Fertilizer we've substituted with chicken manure from local Hendricks.
Yeah, yeah.
And the grain side, we're going to start growing corn silage so we can cut our corn bill down. Got to. If things are going to stay high, you got to start making some changes.
Yeah. And the species of corn now that they've got and the kind of types, they'll...
The heat units are down. A lot of the northern provinces are growing lower heat units. And our summers are getting hotter. So we may as well move with it and grow stuff we can match the heat to, right?
Yeah, yeah. So the barn that we're in here, this was one of the barns that...
Yeah. This is one we bought in 2015. So we put a robot in. And we put the new stalls in and new waters, new lock and head gates, cleaners, feed lines.
So there's two machines, right?
Yeah, we only have one first. Put that in April 2017. Now, mind you, I started milking December 1st, 2016, but I stayed in his barn until I had mine ready. The second robot went in March 2021. So this March would be 2 years for the second one. Big learning curve. We brought some new cows in. Things didn't go as expected. I learned that you can try to do everything perfect in the dairy, but it's all going to fall apart at one point or another.
Late at night, probably.
And trying to work with the robots and that.
How many can they melt?
One robot can do 50, 55. And you can probably push 60, but then you're going to bring back production per cow. So it's only so many liters each one can put out a day, the throughput. And they can probably push around 2,000. So, you know, we're working our way to 4,000 a day. And down the road, we want to put a parlor in and go back to a double eight parlor. A little more simple, cheaper to run monthly.
So you wouldn't have the robots in the parlor? You'd have like...
Yeah, go back to the manual.
Human beings.
Yeah, you know, I'm here and I got two full-time workers, two part-time, and in summertime you get extra people. You know, you're going to crop 500 acres, you need extra people. And I can milk, I can go to 150 then and push close to 6,000 liters at the barn and milk three times a day in the parlor. And we won't need to wait for the cows to come to the robot. We're going to catch
them. That's what happens though. The cows just...
Yeah, they'll come on their own. Yeah, so...
If they come too often, does the robot turn away?
Yeah, it'll turn away. Cows pretty much got a Fitbit on as their identification, and it all comes to a master computer. Cows are allowed in the robots not based on time, based on milk. So we have our set that if you don't have 13 kgs of milk, which is roughly about 14 liters, we're not going to milk you.
So the robot can tell
how much milking she's doing a day. So I mean, a 45-liter cow can come three times a day.
Yeah.
If you're doing, if you're getting close to dry off, we won't let you come so often. So robots work good like that.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of different adjustments and a lot of things got to be perfected to make things roll really well.
Yeah.
And it's hard, and they're god awful expensive to run monthly. Really hard on chemicals. Really little parts are really expensive. They work, but if you want to grow the business. In the parlor, you can milk 100, 200, or 300.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just going to take you more time. And no matter what you do, farming, you had to be in the barn. You're not going to get the robots to do everything, and you're not going to get away from having to go to the barn in the morning, and you're not going to get away from labor completely. And I've never had a labor issue in this area yet. Knock on wood. We do use a temporary form worker program to make sure we always have someone working with your workers and making sure they're happy. You got to make sure they're happy.
So does it change the relationship you have to the cattle, too, if you use a robot?
When you get issues with milk quality, robots can be a little more difficult because you're not actually stripping those cows and touching their udders and cleaning them and milking them physically, with your hand and eye. We're relying on technology, and if one piece of technology is not working 100%, it can have a spiral effect to bad milk quality. In the long run, I'd like to milk more cows, and I don't want to buy, have to buy a robot every 50, 60 cows I want to milk.
They're
$300,000, and that's quite a bit of money.
Yeah.
And it comes with the install cost and time.
Where's the closest robot repair people?
Shubenacadie, Nova Scotia.
Shubenacadie.
So I'm the robot repair guy, and I called their service dealer, and we got to do it because they don't break down during their 8 to 5. They break down on Friday nights and Sunday mornings. But you got to fix it.
Yeah.
And every other farm robots on the island, probably in the same boat. And we've been to a point where, well, we can milk cows, but we got to put milkers on by hand for a few hours, but we'll do that just to get through,
Do you have a piece of music I can use in behind here? That's something that you listen to, a band you like?
Yeah. Jeez, I got to think about that. I'm going to have to get back to you.
I like to have music from the person I talk to because it has a bit more personality than something I choose.
Let me take a look and I'll,
I'll
shoot you a text on that. What I listen to is a bit all over the place. It all depends on what time of day it is. It could be hard rock and we'll call manure, and it could be, be country.
Now here I am traveling through Colorado.
That was Brent Cobb with his song Come Home Soon, as requested by my guest today, Lucas Strong. We're at his dairy farm in Harcourt. In this section, we start out with the wealth of data that the milking robots provide and go on to discuss topics like the need to do more secondary production of dairy in the province.
So you've got reams of data that you probably get.
People have no idea how often the cow comes to the robot, how much she's eating, how much she's drinking, what part she's in her gestation, you know, how much milk per quarter, not per cow, how fast she milked.
Butter fat, protein,
lactose. You know, we know everything about what's going on. Sometimes a little bit too much.
You can spend a lot of time looking at that.
Yeah, you can spend a lot of time sitting down looking at data. And you need to use that. Yeah. That's how you farm with robots. If you don't use the data, the robots won't work. You have to check data daily.
So where did you learn your dairy skills?
True mistakes. A lot of burnt money, and through a lot of other farmers and the vets. There's a whole lot of things that make the business go around. You got to have good neighbors, good labor, good data, good vets, good banker, good insurance, good servicing, and it all has to be good relationships.
Yeah.
Because farming, you need help. You always need help.
Yeah. Like you have other dairy farmers kind of in the region.
Yeah, there's three of us here in this area. There used to be almost 13. Dairy's becoming less, and they are getting bigger. I think the biggest driver is cost production. To milk 50 cows and make it work, it's getting harder.
Yeah.
You need a lot of equipment, and there's a point where you need somebody to run a 200-cow farm, and that amount can still run a 50-cow farm, so they're more paid for through the 200-cow farm, right?
Yeah.
Those payments to the banks on those cows, tractors, is easier. They're still family farms.
Yeah.
I believe it's 99% of farms in Canada are family-owned.
Yeah.
Big difference than our neighbors in the States.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of demands, too, and regulations that you have to follow.
Yeah, and a smaller farm can only do so much bookwork. There's only so much labor you can afford. As you become bigger, you can have someone on staff that does all that. Does your bookkeeping, does your hosting Canada audits and ProAction everything. There's a lot of different things we're obligated to do now, which holds transparency within the industry. And it's good.
Yeah.
Some farms need it. Some are doing it anyway. But it holds Canadian milk to the highest standard.
And you have Holsteins.
All Holsteins.
All Holsteins.
All Jersey crosses.
Just for the cream.
Just for the cream. And they look pretty.
Oh, they are. They're...
If you can't get a Holstein pregnant, we'll try Jersey steaming. Or a smaller cow or cow that's not great genetics, we'll throw some Jersey in.
Oh, okay.
So our best producers and all our heifers get bred sexing. We try to.
So this is female.
Yes.
Female offspring.
90-something percent female offspring. So, we're building our genetics in our herd faster.
And you get that from like this is available all over the place.
Most companies are in Nova Scotia. They're worldwide, but the dealers are in Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
They come over every 3 months. We breed cows every week.
So that's, you've got a supply of milk and so on, and they're all coming fresh.
Yeah, so we'll probably have 140 calves this year.
Spread over the 12 months.
Yeah. In a perfect world, we'd have, 13 a month, but some months be 20 and some months be 4. Way conception works.
And Holstein's pretty much dominant milk cow in Canada.
They make the most milk. I don't know if they're the most efficient compared to Jerseys, but per cow, they make the most milk.
Yeah.
And you can make a lot of butter fat with these cows now. Yeah. There's different feed additives you can use.
I dare say that the nutrition of dairy cattle is watched more closely than the nutrition of human beings.
Probably, yep.
You're pretty careful.
And everything is down to grams into a kg of grain. There's different minerals and additives. And if you make a mistake, production goes down tomorrow, and it takes 3 weeks to get it back. You got to have logbooks on what you're feeding and make sure there's accountability to what we're feeding. The feed is the most important thing. Feed and milking.
Yeah.
You got to do a good job of both. Experienced employees in the barn that aren't new keeps the cows more relaxed. We come to the barn at 6, and any cows that never came overnight we'll catch. And we catch cows at 1 and clean stalls. And at night at 8 o'clock we'll catch again. And we feed our calves the same time. You do your labor and your barn check 3 times a day.
Yeah. Consumers these days, they're sort of changing in terms of how they consume their dairy products. How do you see that happening?
Big change. People aren't drinking it, they're eating it. 30 years ago, yogurt, cream cheese, cottage cheese, sour cream, these weren't things that people consumed. consumed. Yeah. It was very small sales before my time. But you look back throughout consumption, and it was fluid years ago. And now, I mean, if you look at the grocery stores, the eating side of dairy is massive. Cheese is huge. And sour cream is, my God, there's so many different colors of sour cream and fat contents and whatever you want in it. And same with cottage cheese and cream cheese and all these different pre-made dips. And yogurts and drinkable yogurts and kids' yogurts, and it's a massive industry. That's our future. And there's always going to be fluid milk and ice cream. Ice cream is huge. I think one time ice cream was a luxury, but now everyone wants to eat ice cream.
Does that change how you produce, though?
It changes markets. We're paid very heavily on fluid. The rest of Canada is paid on kgs of butterfat. Okay. So at the end of the month, it looks how many kgs of butterfat you produce, because butterfat's a bigger industry in the industrial side of the market, which is the eating side are a lot more lucrative than fluid milk.
Yes.
If you look at the price of yogurts and cheese and butter and specialty butters, specialty cheeses, specialty yogurts, sour creams, the sky's the limit on what you can do. And you don't need to move so much volume to get the revenue. With tight margins like it is now, it's very important that the farmers can hold the most value from the product from start to finish.
Yeah.
And right now we're not. We're splitting it with processors. And there's a last connection from us to the consumer. We're sending it to the processor. The processor takes care of the rest of the line. And everything's a go on the West Coast for our new dairy plant. Secondary processing here, our new plant. We don't have nothing now. You know, we're sending milk off to get processed and brought back. So our plan is to get the milk here and process and create products for Newfoundlanders and people across Canada and possibly worldwide, depends on our markets for consumption.
So that's the dairy farmers have been involved in that quite actively.
Yep.
You don't have to ship it off the island.
Yeah, well, we can keep it here and save trucking and, you know, get a bit of return on our product if we can get into some of these different markets. I'm not directly involved. We do have two dairy farmers that are directors that just recently got back from Ireland, and so things are progressing pretty quick. There is a mentor, I don't know the exact word to use, that is going to be involved with it, and they're huge into industrial milk processing and in northern markets, because at the end of the day, we're farmers.
Yeah.
We're not
processors. Yeah, but you don't have the time to do that.
So it'll be interesting to see the next couple of years where we're going to go with.
Music used to be my way to escape. Good, the bad, everything between. Now it's become what defines my name. Oh, I wonder who it was I used to be. If I still have to finish what I started, right or wrong. God, it's been so long since I felt at home. I've forgotten what it feels like to belong. Anywhere, and I'm scared I might forget who
was Come Home Soon by Brent Cobb. Today I'm talking with Lucas Strong at his dairy and forage farm not far from Clarenville. Although Lucas is in a supply-managed sector where there's some consistency in revenues, there are many other things well outside his control, such as the rising cost of inputs and weather changes. So I ask him about hope and optimism down on the farm. Let's head back to the barn for his answer.
So you're into this 6 years. What gives you hope and optimism? You get up in the morning and...
Well, we got bills and bank. You don't show up, you're not going to make no money, so you got to keep production rolling, and you got to be in the barn. And you know, at the end of the day, you do it because you love it. It's a very hard business. There's no doubt about it. You got to be a farmer. You got to be a business person. You got to have a lot of luck. Weather can make or break the crop. So dairy farming, luck can have it in the barn too, but doing a good job is important. Then you got your field crops during the summer. So weather comes into big play, having a good forage season or a poor season. The weather comes in play in planting and harvesting, manure management, land clearing. It's a whole lot of things got to fall in a right line to do well. This year was a really hot summer. The fertilizer prices are extremely high, fuel prices are high. Not a year I'd like to repeat.
Because of the prices or because
everything? Weather, it was hot here in the barn. Yeah. Last production, pricing was, it was a hard year to run through. You can't keep doing the years like these. Yeah, we're going to lose farms. It's hurt across all farm industry and across Canada. Yeah. But Newfoundland, probably the most because of trucking. Everything's trucked in. Fuel rate goes up. Everything's affected. Farmer pays freight both ways too. Pays the freight to the farm, pays the freight out.
So you pay for shipping in the feed and shipping out the milk.
That's right. The cost of the feed went up a bit, but not like the trucking up. Yeah. We could get a load of straw out of PEI 2 years ago for $5,000 roughly. I think it's nearly $15,000 now. Straw price about the same.
So what do you use for bedding?
We use sawdust from local mill. Sawdust. But we like to have straw for dry cow diet. We mix it with forage and feed our dry cows. We don't do that now because we can't afford it. No. We can buy the straw, we just can't get it home. We're going to have to try to grow these things here.
What are some positive things about farming in Newfoundland and Labrador?
Well, there's lots of positives. It seems like I'm going on just
with negative. No.
You can grow here. It's easy to grow. Government got endless amounts of ag land that's available for you to buy on and get a lease on it for 9 years and apply for funding to clear it. There's industrial milk market where you can make more milk. The government's there to help you on equipment and barns. There's a lot of help. Yeah. So if you're in southern Ontario, I don't know what they're paying for land, but without even buying a quota and a barn and cows, you're talking millions. It could be near $20,000-$30,000 an acre. Yeah. You want 200 acres to milk 50 cows, you could be tying $6 million to that in just land value. So the debt load within the same size farm and same cash flow is substantial. So that comes in effect, too, of being able to farm Newfoundland.
Do you have any beef?
We did. Yeah. We do a little bit now, not much. That's a hard industry too. Forage is so expensive here. The last 2 years has changed the way we got to farm. We got to cut every single cost back. There's no more room for mediocre business. This has to be strictly dairy and selling forage. Just conserving all the capital we can to get through, because if we got to punch another year like last year with costs, we can't try anything that's not going to work. And there's things we'd like to do, but right now is a good time to sit back and just let the wheels turn without trying to change the way. Anytime, you know, we'll ride it out.
Do you ever think, I wish I was a crop farmer, I'd be done, have the winter off.
But you still, you got those input costs, you got to get the revenue back. And take an example, the veggie farmers. I would have thought the farmers and that who sell them right to consumers are in control of what they're selling to a point, because PEI Nova Scotia can send it in, so you can only ask so much before they're not going to buy from you. The price hardly went up. Actually, the price of turnip first of the year was down from last year, 5 cents. And their fertilizer bill doubled too, and their fuel bill was up.
What's your favorite food?
Probably steak and ice cream and cheese. Yeah, I could live on steak, ice cream, and cheese, no problem. And potatoes. Potatoes are great too. I'll sit down with a prime rib, any type. You can cook the potato any way you want. And for dessert, I'll have ice cream. Or cheesecake or cheddar cheese.
What kind of steak? Do you like Angus or?
Angus, definitely. Angus? Gotta be Angus or Simmental or Charley, but a good beef breed.
A good beef breed, Well, thanks so much for chatting to us. You got 120 cows out there?
I was milking 120, so we got a little over 200 cows here on farm.
So you got your day's work cut out.
There's always something to do. There's always something to fix. There's always something broke.
So if you want to be a farmer, learn how to fix things.
Oh, you're not farming. You're jack of all trades. Master of none. Farming is, you're a machinist, you're a welder, you're a crop specialist, you're a laborer, you're a tractor operator, excavator operator.
Animal health.
Animal health. You're a vet, you're a nutritionist, you're a milk manager, you're a herdsman, you're a construction, electrician, plumbing. You got to know it all, because stuff breaks Friday nights and Sunday mornings, and these guys aren't available then. And it's too expensive to call them every time. There's no trouble to tell when a farmer fixes it. It doesn't look pretty.
But it works.
But it works.
Thanks so much.
Yep, no problem.
Yeah.
If you don't show up, you're not going to make no money. So you got to keep production rolling and got to be in the barn. And you know, at the end of the day, you do it because you love it. In the long run, I'd like to milk more cows, and I don't want to buy a robot every 50, 60 cows I want to milk. With tight margins like it is now, it's very important that the farmers can hold the most value from the product from start to finish. Yeah. And right now, we're not. We're splitting it with processors. Mind you, I had no cash, and you know, I'm looking for $1 million-plus dollars, and I was 20. So how do you do that?
This has been Fit to Eat, the Newfoundland Labrador Farm and Food Show. To listen to other episodes of this show or for more information, go to fittoeatnl.ca. For music on today's show, we heard Brent Cobb with his song Come Home Soon. The theme music, Cluck Old Hen, was performed this week by Roy Curry. This show was made possible by a grant from the Community Radio Fund of Canada and is produced by the Voice of Bombay Radio Network and Kitchen Table Communications. I'm Ivan Emke. Join me again next time. Happy trails.
There's no trouble to tell when a farmer fixes it. It doesn't look pretty, but it works.